As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Issues 2021. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Adam Smith, President and CEO, Exploration Place, the Sedgwick County Science and Discovery Center, right here in Wichita. Welcome to Issues 2021.
Thanks, Steve. It's nice to be here.
For our listeners who are maybe not be familiar with Exploration Place, tell us what it is and where it is, please.
It is a science and discovery center. We're on the Arkansas River, just right next to downtown Wichita. It is the most significant museum of its type in the state of Kansas. It's 21 years old. It's in some amazing signature buildings that we get people visiting here from all around the world just to study the buildings. They're architecturally very significant. And it's a great place for families and people of all ages to come and learn about the world of science and nature, and sometimes a little bit of history thrown in. We've got a big dome theater that we show great sort of large format documentaries on, and there's always something going on here.
Yeah, our listeners are saying right now, "Hey, wait, that gentleman is not from around here. You're not from the United States. Tell us a little bit about your background, please."
The accent you're hearing is English. I was born in a town called Burnley. It's up in northern England. No one's ever heard of it unless they follow soccer. But it's near Manchester. So I was born and raised there. I've lived here in the United States for 20 years. My whole life has been wrapped up with museums. It's my passion, and that sort of journey led me from, I was actually working in Scotland at the time. I came over here in 2001, and my family, they all think I talk like an American now, but thanks for making me feel better that I haven't completely lost my English accent.
And I talked to my colleague, Ted Woodward, and I said, "Hey, I'm going to have Adam Smith on Issues show this weekend." He says, "You're talking about the 17th century economist? I thought he was dead by now." But you're not that Adam Smith, are you?
I am not. Interestingly, the famous economist Adam Smith in Britain, no one's really heard of him. I never got comments about my name until I came to live in America. He's much more well-known over here and studied in colleges and schools and things like that. Okay. So,
Let's talk about Exploration Place a little bit more. And how are you funded? How do you pay the bills down there?
It's what we call a public-private partnership. So we get some public funding from Sedgwick County, so through taxes. And last year, that accounted for almost exactly a third of our funding. So the other two-thirds, we've got to earn that ourselves through ticket sales and fundraising and all the other things that a place like ours does to keep the lights on. So sort of similar to Sedgwick County Zoo in the way it's structured. And I I must admit, I've worked in two or three public-private partnerships in my life, and this is a really good one. I think it's almost a model of... I don't think if it was entirely publicly funded, you could not get anything of the quality of Exploration Place. There's something about having independent board of trustees, and all. I've got a wonderful board. They really care about this place, and they help me every day with so many different things, you know, to make it all work. So you're getting the community is involved in Exploration Place, and I think I do appreciate the taxpayer funding, and we try and spend that very, very wisely. But I actually think the taxpayer gets really good value for money for it, because we've got world-class facilities here, you know.
Tell us about memberships.
I think one of the most valuable things that we offer is a membership to Exploration Place. We have about 28,000 people are members of the organization right now, and I think particularly if you've got kids in your family, it's almost a no-brainer, because you buy the membership and it gets you free admission to Exploration Place for 365 days. And you know, we literally have some families that are coming here more than 100 times a year. But the way it works out is usually if you visit three times a year, it's worth becoming a member, because you're going to save money that way. And we also have a lot of programs, and it's a great way to, to sort of stay involved, particularly if your kids are interested in science and nature.
So how long have you been at Exploration Place?
18 months. Actually, almost literally. I came here from San Diego in November of 2019. So I had like 3 or 4 normal months, you know, just getting my feet under the table of a new job, and then the whole world got turned upside down with COVID. So I feel like we're just starting to come back to a little bit of normality again now after certainly one of the most interesting 12 months in my life.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment, but you were in San Diego. What were you doing, if I may ask, what were you doing in San Diego?
You can ask whatever you want, Steve. Okay. I was starting a new museum out there for an organization that some of your listeners might have heard of called Comic Con. Out there in San Diego 50 years ago, they started having this comic book show, and it just grew and grew and grew. And now it's one of the biggest conventions in the world. There's over 500,000 people go and attend the convention, and everyone's dressing up as superheroes, and all the Hollywood stars come down and things like that. So I was recruited to start a museum. If you know San Diego, there's a wonderful park there called Balboa Park. There's 17 museums in there, and we were working on building the 18th.
I'm familiar with Comic-Con, and it's, of course, the Big Bang Theory's got us into that. So.
Right, yes, exactly.
And so I know about that a little bit. All right. Let's talk about a little bit about the building that you're in there at Exploration Place. This is a pretty unique architecture in this building, especially for us here in the Midwest and on the Plain States. Tell us about that.
Yeah, one of the great pleasures that I've had, you know, coming to this community is just, you know, getting to know some really, really wonderful people, one of whom is Phil Frick. And Phil, we have a plaque on the wall here, you know, recognizing him as the founder of Exploration Place. And Phil had a vision for Exploration Place right from the very beginning, that it not just be a regular science center, but be something that really tried to raise the quality standard for the community. And so that, as they went through the whole visioning process for Exploration Place in the late 90s, they reached out to basically the who's who of leading architects in the world at that time. They talked to Frank Gehry and Richard Rogers and, you know, Norman Foster. But the group actually selected an Israeli architect called Moshe Safdie. And so he did the architecture. It was very ambitious for the time. I think for Wichita, it's one of the most ambitious building projects that the community's ever taken on. We had the great pleasure of engaging with Moshe Safdie last fall. Unfortunately, because of COVID, he couldn't visit in person, but we had a really nice program where he was on Zoom, and we had people sort of dialed in from left, right, and center. And he gave a presentation about the design of Exploration Place, and it became clear to me that this was like the pivotal project in his entire career. He did things before, but everything that he's done since Exploration Place, there are major museums and galleries, airports, etc., all around the globe that look like Exploration Place. Mm-hmm. You know, that you can just look at them and say, ah, that's really reminiscent. And all of those concepts, those curves, that design philosophy he developed here in Wichita. So when I said earlier that people come from all around the world to study these buildings, I'm not exaggerating. And I, even though they're only 21 years old, no question Exploration Place will end up on the National Register of Historic Places when it qualifies, which is after 50 years.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what's inside the building. Do you feature, you have permanent exhibits there at Exploration Place?
We have both permanent and traveling exhibits, and both of them are really important to be a successful museum of our kind. You need the permanent, the families that are members, they love having that sort of familiar places that the kids know and they love to explore and make friends in and things like that. So we've got permanent exhibits on themes like aviation. We've got a wonderful aviation gallery called Design Build Fly. We've got a Kansas gallery so we can explore the landscape and natural history of the state we live in. We've got a medieval castle.
I tell you what, those kids, the little kids, love that castle, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do. I think one of the things they love about it is they can. There's like a lot of hidden rooms that they can run around and play hide and seek and all that kind of stuff. So we have permanent exhibits that are important, but almost equally important is we do have a really strong temporary exhibit program. Every year we bring in three national level traveling exhibits, and that gives us an important thing too, which is change. You know, so if people feel that it's just the same as when I last went there, or there's nothing new to see, then they won't come. You know, so having the three traveling exhibits a year really helps us with that.
Yep, I've seen a couple of them. They are excellent. But back to what you were talking about earlier, you've been pretty well known for hands-on activities. People can actually get their hands in and do things in there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that. When Exploration Place was developed, we were part of a national movement to install really interactive museums. You know, so it was almost a backlash against the kind of museum that's dusty artifacts in cases and you know, nothing that engages your hands and mind. And I think everything we do when we book those traveling exhibits, we're looking for ones that have got a really high level of interactivity, and certainly the permanent exhibits we've got. I actually need to count them, but I know for sure there's probably in excess of 500 interactive exhibits here at Exploration Place when you add them all up.
Wow. You're listening to Issues 2021 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Adam Smith, President and CEO, Exploration Place here in Wichita. How has the pandemic impacted Exploration Place, Adam?
Well, it certainly impacted us, Steve, and it's actually been sort of a dichotomy. There's been some really difficult things to work with, but there's also been some really tremendous opportunities opened up for us, actually. The difficulty has been running a visitor attraction through a pandemic. We were closed for 109 days from starting March 13th, so, you know, immediately cuts off one of your main sources of revenue and your main way of engaging with everyone. We reopened July 1, but even then it was quite slow. July last year, which is normally one of our biggest months of the year, we were at about 20% of what normal traffic would be. We've seen a distinct turn since almost exactly January 1, somehow the turn of the year. It's been coming back a lot stronger for us. So we're running about 75% of normal attendance now. So, you know, in the main, people seem comfortable to be coming back out. And, you know, the recovery isn't all the way there, but we're feeling a lot better about it than we were certainly a year ago. But at the same time, sort of like, it's been a real managerial challenge managing through all the issues relative to masks and social distancing and staffing and staff getting COVID and all those things. But what's been really helpful, I think, to us as an organization has been that there's been this wonderful opportunity has opened up for us at the same time relative to distance education. Over the past decade especially, we've really develop some amazing educational programs at Exploration Place in relative to STEM education, and we've got teachers going out into schools all around the community and field trips and things like that. Well, all of that came to an end during lockdown, but my team didn't want the education to end, so we improvised 3 distance learning classrooms. We've got green screens and cameras, and you know, we found a way to keep the education going. And I think there is a little bit of a backlash going on right now against, you know, because people, I think, rightly want kids to be back in classrooms and not doing distance learning. But we've learned in the past 12 months some lessons that we will never unlearn, which is that it's a great way to get education out there, particularly in a state like Kansas, where we've got a lot of kids living in small communities of under 10,000 people. They don't always have the chance to come to Exploration Place to get the high quality education that we offer. And like, just by way of example, summer camps, we had to do all of our summer camps last year online. And like, normally the catchment area for our camps is maybe people that live 30 minutes drive from Exploration Place, something like that. Well, last year we had kids in 12 states. And in fact, we even had kids 4,000 miles away in Germany doing camp at Exploration Place. And I think when COVID is kind of in the rearview mirror, I think the one thing that will remain is that, you know, I think everyone's experience of things like technologies like Zoom has we've leapt forward as a society at least a decade in our adoption of technologies like that, and it's actually really exciting for Exploration Place. Sorry to get long-winded, but you can probably tell I'm excited.
Yeah, really. What kind of attendance do you see in a normal year? What's the pattern been over the years?
In a normal year, a good year at Exploration Place is roughly 250,000 people, 250,000 people visiting the facility. And then a good outreach year will also reach about 50,000 to 60,000 kids through these outreach programs. But, you know, back on the distance education, last year we reached 500,000 kids through the distance learning. So that's literally an exponential growth in our ability to fulfill our educational mission.
Wow. Okay. Now I was going to say, where do these visitors come from? But it sounds like you've got them from all over the world now.
One of the things our staff does is we collect a zip code from everyone when they come in. So I've got this very impressive chart on my desktop that it sort of displays on a map where people come from in a given year to Exploration Place. And it's really impressive because you can just see people come here from all over the United States of America and internationally as well. We're a strong tourist attraction.
By the time this, 250,000 puts you right up there. By this time this program airs, Adam, Death by Chocolate will be history for this year, but it's been an annual event. I've been to a couple of them. Tell us a little bit about that and any other events, special events you have coming up here in the next couple of weeks or couple of months anyway.
Yeah, Death by Chocolate was quite a journey this year. Normally we would hold it in February, and we have a committee that works on the event every year. This year was the 15th one. There were even times in the dark days of winter where we thought we might have to completely cancel it because, running an event at Exploration Place was not possible, and also there was no appetite on anyone's part to try and do it as a virtual event. So we persevered, and we ended up delaying it to May the 8th, and that was a great decision. And we've ended up, you know, saving the event. It sold out, which is tremendous. I really appreciate the support of the community. So for listeners that don't know what it is, it's sort of like a Taste of Wichita kind of event where you can come, and we've got restaurants and food and beverage providers from all across the community very generously come in and give samples to everyone. And so you get to taste the very best of what Wichita has to offer from a food and drink perspective. And I'm glad we were able to save the event. And now the question is, should we continue doing it in May, or should we move back to February? So we'll be thinking about that.
I wanted to, several years ago, my high school class held a reunion at Exploration Place. I must say it went very well. There was plenty of space. We had about 200 people there. There was plenty of space, and everything went well, ran well. And one of the things that was interesting for us, Adam, was people who came in from out of town who hadn't been in Wichita for quite a while. We took them out over to the Keeper of the Plains and looked at that, all that close by, and it made it for a really, memorable evening for my classmates to come out there. And everybody commented on the beautiful building and the beauty of Exploration Place. So what I'm getting to is you do host private events there. Tell us about that a little bit.
We do, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about it, because I think one of the hidden aspects of Exploration Place is that we're a really, really great events venue. At 5 o'clock every day, we close down a visitor attraction, and the facility is available for different kinds of activities. We've had 400 weddings here, for example, since Exploration Place opened. It's a great place to come and get married, and it's high quality. And as you said, the Keeper of the Plains there is a real, it can often be the icing on the cake to stick around and see the flames going up at 9 o'clock. And actually, as we move into the future, I think we want to have even more knowledge of what a great location Exploration Place is. I think sometimes people just think of it as an exhibit place, but we've got some really great spaces for all kinds of things.
I mean, it's a personal note here. You've come from two different foreign countries, one of them Great Britain and the other California. What has been the adjustment like coming to the plains of South Central Kansas? How's that been?
Well, I'm chuckling because California for me certainly was an experience. And I don't mind telling you that I didn't really fit in California. It was one of the reasons. If you ask me why am I here, why have I moved from San Diego to Wichita, the opportunity to be back in the Midwest was really attractive to me. So when I first came to America, I lived in Oshkosh, Wisconsin for 11 years, working. The world's largest air show is there every year, and I was running the museum that was associated with that. And I really loved it, really good values, community, just a really sort of coherent thing. And when I landed in California, I really felt a lot of that was missing, and as soon as I came back to Wichita, within almost like a week of being here, it's like, welcome home. You are in a sort of an environment, and this is not a political thing, it's just the way people behave. The first night in my new apartment, there's a knock on the door, and there's just a young man saying, hey, I just want to introduce myself and, share a beer with you. And, wow. And I closed the door on him, and I thought, you know, I could have lived in California for 50 years, and that would never have happened. It's a, there's a different mindset, you know? And so I'm really enjoying it. Yeah,
You talk about Oshkosh, and of course, the connections with the – we are have called ourselves the air capital, so we're familiar with the, with Oshkosh. And I'll tell you what, I spent a couple of days in Madison, Wisconsin in October one time, and I don't think there's a prettier place on the planet, but I'll tell you what, Wisconsin's a beautiful place. Hey, nice to have you with us this morning and sharing your thoughts with us, and welcome to Wichita. We appreciate it, and I'm the best of luck to you at Exploration Place. Got some exciting things coming in the year ahead, I'm sure, as we get back to normal and people coming down to see you, and thank you for spending some time with us this morning. We appreciate it, Adam.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. I appreciate your time, too.
Our guest, Adam Smith, President and CEO, Exploration Place, Sedgwick County Science and Discovery Center in Wichita. That's all for this edition of Issues 2021. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.